Why click anywhere else for Internet Talk Radio?
They're serious. They mean what they're saying.
Open a browser and open your mind. TalkZone.com. Time for more positive living with Patricia Raskin on TalkZone.com.
Hello, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Living right here on TalkZone.com. And I'm Patricia Raskin, and so honored and pleased to be on TalkZone. It's a new internet network, and it's a wonderful place to be. The network has tremendous hosts and guests, and the shows are very well described. They're easy to navigate, and I would really suggest that you not only listen to this show, which I hope you will do, but also to many of the other shows on TalkZone. I can't really recommend it highly enough. Now, today is a specially pre-recorded program, so you won't be calling in, but I have a fun guest on today, and we're getting into a little bit of a juicy subject next. My guest is Myrna Lamb, who is a professional astrologer and a radio personality. She writes a weekly astrology column, and she hosts a weekly astrology card reading radio program. She will discuss how to use astrology to improve our personal and professional relationships, and specifically, we're going to talk right now about her book, The Astrology of Great Sex, What Your Lover Wants. And her newest book, hot off the press, is The Astrology of Great Gay Sex. Okay, Myrna, here's the question about the sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going through every sign, and there's all kinds of questions here about, you know, where do you like to have sex? How long do you like to have sex? What are your preferences? What are your inhibitions? All different kinds of things, your spiritual attitude about sexuality,
mm-hmm.
How do you communicate, what do you like most, what do you like least. Now, the question is, you're in a relationship, and you haven't read this book.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're reading this book, and you're doing the questionnaire, or your partner's doing the questionnaire, and you see where your problem lies, because mm-hmm. you're different.
Yeah.
You like this, the other person likes that, you're more verbal, they're not, they may be embarrassed or inhibited, you may be uninhibited. What do you do with that, Myrna? Would you run to the sex therapist, or do you try to do this yourself? What do you do?
Well, I don't think everybody needs to run to a sex therapist either. What I really think people need to do is extend themselves to their lovers. And maybe that sounds so simple, but I believe in relationships we forget. So the point of the book, of course, if you're in a new relationship, the book can open your eyes to things that you haven't begun to understand yet. But even if you've been in a relationship for a long time, because I think we all get into ruts and we all get into kind of routines, this book can open your eyes to some new possibilities. And one of the reasons for that is beyond the, again, let's stay with the relationship that's been around for a long time, beyond the mundane. How many times a week do you want to have sex? Where do you prefer to do it? What things do you like best? Beyond that, the people who filled out these surveys shared their sexual fantasies, and they also shared memories of some extraordinary sexual event. And let's say you're with someone the same year, for the same, you know, number of years, and you read these fantasies, you read these memories, it might trigger in you the idea of how to set the stage for an out-of-the-ordinary sexual experience, even with someone who's been your partner for years. Don't you think that that could be a real turn-on for your husband, your wife, or your partner? I certainly think so. That's the whole point. And there are a lot of specifics. For example, the water signs tend to like to have sex near water. So what if you've been married to someone for a long time, you haven't done anything like that? What if you get a boat? I don't know. Go out for the day on a boat. Be safe, but try it there.
So does that mean, Myrna, that the earth signs like to do it near the earth? The air signs like to do it outside in the air? I mean, what does all that mean?
No, not necessarily. Taurans want to be warm and comfortable, thank you, so they would prefer a bed anytime. Virgos want to be... I guess I won't go there. Anyway...
okay.
What a major turn-on for Virgos is the smell of clean sheets. And Capricorns often like to get into the fetishes, so that's best done in a dark room or a semi-dungeon. So no, I don't think the earth signs necessarily want to be out on the grass. In fact, it's something like Sagittarius loves to do it on a hillside, and Cancers love to be in pine forests. They just do. You say to a Cancer, I'd love to do it with you.
Yeah, but what if you're with the opposite person? What if you're with the person who wants to do it in this beautiful bed with satin sheets, and the other person wants to do it in the forest? What do you do?
You take turns. Satin sheets on the ground in the forest. How's that?
So you know what you're talking about, really, all kidding aside, is making it fun and light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, I need to address stigma around sex and sexuality. I mean, there's a lot of it. It's such a mixed message in our culture. On one hand, it's okay. On the other hand, it isn't. On one hand, it's really beautiful. On the other hand, it's really dirty.
Absolutely.
We get mixed messages all the time.
We sure do.
What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think that sex is a hugely complex topic. It can be fun. It can be very serious. It can be quick. It can be slow. It can be elegant. It can be dark and dirty and messy. It's just totally varied and broad, and that's what makes it fascinating. Just the other night, I was watching a program, I think, on the History Channel about the history of sex and what was done through the years and through the ages by the church and sexuality and all kinds of things. It's no wonder we're a mess on this topic. And so I think when people take a lighter attitude toward it and recognize that it's one of life's pleasures, we eat every day, we can have sex fairly frequently, we eat different foods, we have sex different ways, all of that makes sense. But there's a big caveat here, and that is you can never get the other person to do something that he or she really finds unpleasant. You don't do that, and that's certainly not the point of the book. So if you read that your partner really likes to do something that you really don't like to do, you don't do it. But maybe you find a way to be a little accommodating that's close but not quite. And that's the kind of thing that you use this book for. You understand the other party, and then you do what you can with that information.
Myrna, do you think that couples who are going to enter into a long-term relationship, and let's say they're going to get married, do you think that they should really explore this beforehand so that they know?
You mean?
And I'm not talking about the act of sex. I'm talking about knowing preferences and knowing styles. Do you think that before a couple engages in a lifelong relationship, which marriage in most cases tries to be, should they be looking at this in terms of what works and what doesn't?
Okay. Seems to me there's about five layers to that question that you just asked. And that one of the things that's part of that is that people have come to expect some sort of romantic love, some kind of Disneyland, spend the rest of our lives happy ever after in the palace. And that's not life. And if we look at the history of marriage, and, you know, for the longest time, marriage was pretty much prearranged, and it was for what would be for the best for all the families that were involved, and there was a whole sense of community. And the sense of this kind of nuclear family isolated from the rest of the world, one woman raising her kids while the guy goes to work, you know, none of this has any real sense in the big picture. So the answer to your question is varied. I do think people need to know each other better than they do. We meet, and it's that lust thing. It's that sex drive. And we think it's love, and it's not love. It's lust. And even in terms of astrology, it takes at least 2 years for us to know each other in the full enough range of personality to be able to make the commitment of till death do us part. How many people wait 2 years? Lots don't.
So let's take a quick look at the difference then between love and lust.
Sure.
In relationship to what you write in your book, The Astrology of Great Sex.
Absolutely. Now, The Astrology of Great Sex is based solely on the sun sign. And as I've explained, there can be 1,400 factors in the chart that goes way beyond where is your sun. But because the sun is fundamental in the chart, like the id is fundamental in the Freudian system of personality, I expected to find a correlation between a sun sign and a behavior. And I did. To an extent that surprised me. As these hundreds and hundreds of sex questionnaires came in, I was astonished to find how many people not only answered the question with the same kind of answer, but sometimes with the exact same words, so I almost thought that it was like I made a mistake and was reading the same one twice. It's that kind of consistency that made it possible to use all this stuff and write a book, which is a serious book, about sex and astrology. But when you ask that question, now when we really talk about developing the relationship, which isn't necessarily sex, but is lovemaking, now we get into the placements of Mars and Venus and Neptune. Mars is the physical aspect of love. Venus is also the physical aspect. Mars is more the sex. And Neptune is the spiritual level. And that has to do with that sense that you're with someone who's your soulmate. People often ask me, will I find my soulmate? Will I meet my soulmate? I'm going to tell you, I don't believe you meet a soulmate. I believe that you become a soulmate over time. And that also goes, flies in the face of this old idea of romantic love, and I meet my Prince Charming, and his kiss awakens me to life and to love ever after. We have to work at our relationships. And that's, again, where this book comes in. Now, this book really does focus on sex. It's not about quote-unquote love. The last half of the book talks about relationships. But I think that love has to do with the way that people are willing to adapt and accommodate to each other and respect what the other person's needs are and sometimes put themselves in second place. And when all of those kinds of givings go on, then the sex life not only gets better, but it endures.
So you really hear you're talking about two different things. And actually, people can use the book in any way that they want.
Of course.
Because you don't really talk in the book so much about relationship. You talk more about sign preferences, sun sign preferences.
I really focus this book on sex. And I did it very specifically because there are thousands of astrology books that have been written through the decades that talk about everything. But you pick up almost any straight sun sign or general astrology book, and the word sex doesn't even appear. So this book really addresses what wasn't there.
All right, we're going to take a break. My guest is Myrna Lamb. She is the author of The Astrology of Great Sex, What Your Lover Wants. You can log on to MyrnaLamb.com. This is a specially pre-recorded program, so you're not calling in, but you certainly can log on to Myrna's website. Myrna is a professional astrologer and a radio personality who writes a weekly astrology column, and her radio show is on astrology and card reading. So, again, you can log on to MyrnaLamb.com, and you can listen up because we have another segment left, and we're talking more about astrology, relationships, love, sexuality. And I'm Patricia Raskin for Positive Living. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.